Welcome to Atomic Moms, a modern parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our children and ourselves. I'm Ellie Noss, and each week we celebrate and commiserate with best-selling authors, experts, and moms around the world. Hi, everyone. I have so much going on in my head. I'm having a really hard time focusing. I am sitting in my little podcast studio, which is basically a room with padded walls. And I probably shouldn't be in here alone because it's my birthday week and I'm kind of tweaking out. But a lot's going on. Sabrina's finally back in preschool, my 4.5-year-old. She had a 2.5-week spring break. We just had Easter, the world premiere of my husband's movie Rampage, starring Dwayne Johnson. My husband was the screenwriter. And then it's my birthday. So in reflecting on this past year, I realized that my big moment, my big starring role my award-worthy performance was the role of birthing mother last July. Liza's birth was a real doozy. I mean, talk about highs and lows and funny moments and like really dark ones. So I thought we'd revisit it together. I hope you all enjoy this episode. It's kind of weird to share such an intimate experience, but we're all friends, right? Find us on social media at Atomic Moms on Twitter and on Instagram. Go to our Facebook page, Atomic Moms, and then you can join our little closed Facebook group as well. Also, I appreciate all your comments and your reviews on iTunes. It helps other moms find us. Okay. Here we go. Get ready to hear some groaning. I'll be right back with our second daughter, Eliza's birth story. Hey, everybody. It's 5:52 a.m. I just got off the phone with my doula. We are headed to the hospital. Oh, boy. This little girl is going to make history today. She's coming into this world. Whew. Today in studio, I have what sounds like a little pug. Her name is Eliza. She was 8 pounds. How many ounces?
8 ounces.
8 pounds, 8 ounces, 21 inches long. She's sitting on my lap right now. She's so warm, and my hormones are raging. I forgot about the night sweats, guys. Nothing like the night sweats. So she is 13 days old. I've got Adam Stekiel sitting across from me. We have officially been married 10 years. And we're going to share what happened to us 13 days ago when this little bright light came into our world. We're tired.
Yeah.
She's tired too, clearly, from that sound effect. That was not Adam. That was Eliza. Adam just went to a birthday party.
I love birthday parties. They're my favorite thing in the world.
You really love a 4-year-old.
Like especially a 4-year-old birthday party. They're my favorites.
Yeah. I just feel like you bond with Sabrina when you take her to these birthday parties.
I do. No, I don't. I think the birthday parties bring out the worst in children. And they start at Lord of the Flies and then devolve into just, I don't even know what. Having seen trailers for that movie, Detroit, that's what it feels like by the end.
Says the man from the suburbs of Detroit.
Yeah.
The morning that I went into labor, I was actually in the middle of planning Sabrina's birthday. I got called into her room after you'd have been summoned in twice. For another nightmare or whatever the excuse was, I got called in. It was great. I had a little private moment with her. I went back into bed. The baby in my tummy was always rocking and rolling from like 3 to 7 a.m., so there was no going back to sleep. So I was planning Sabrina's birthday party while Adam slept next to me. And what?
I'm laughing at you, Adam. I'm having a private moment, like she's the Pope or something. I had a private moment with Sabrina.
Well, it's a big deal.
I get it. It was the middle of the night. It was just a funny way to phrase.
It was a way of sort of saying goodbye, even though I had no idea that I was about to push a baby.
But I also think she thinks she is sort of like the Pope of our house. So
yeah, we got to work on that.
And she, yeah.
So anyway, started getting some cramps, which for listeners to know that that's not that unusual for me because I've been on modified bed rest since April because I went to the hospital because I had these cramps that would last 30 minutes at a time. They found this protein in this FFN test. So there was I was at risk for preterm labor, which means I was kind of on like house arrest for months. And I felt like the pregnant woman crying labor like versus the boy who cried wolf. So every day, Adam, I would say this, today's the day.
Yeah. So when you woke me up at whatever it was, 5:30, and was like, I think today's the day, I literally was like, can we have this conversation at 7? Because we've had this conversation every day for the past 25 days.
I've been on pins and needles for 4 months.
Yeah.
So I didn't believe it either. And
I have 100 texts that say, like, I think it might be, I think now it might be now. Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't do that meeting in Santa Monica because today's the day. So we've been putting our life on hold. And this time, though, the contractions were much, much shorter, but it just felt a little crampy. I got up to pee and I had a little bit of the bloody show thing. Which the OBGYN had mentioned 3 days before, like I was had no dilation or anything. She was like, you know, just keep an eye out for bloody show.
And I was like, why is it called show? Like it's like, ta-da, we're here.
Ta-da! Which, by the way, also can just mean that you're going to have your baby within a few days. Like it's not even like a right now, like a water breaking thing. I was hoping for some huge signal. And what I got
bloody
was
show.
The
sounds
bloody
like it's going to be the fountains at the Bellagio or something.
Yeah, it was not that. It's like way less blood than like your nosebleeds.
Which are
really showy.
Yeah, they are. I have very showy nosebleeds.
Actually, anyway, so I took a shower.
My body's banged up.
I didn't wake him up yet. I took a shower, then I got out, and then the contractions were still happening. And we decided it was time to call the doula because the doula said, you know, if this is your second birth, it could go very quickly. Call me the second you have any sort of signs. So we called her. She asked me a bunch of questions. And then she said, get some protein, eat some breakfast. Because you're group B strep, we're meeting at the hospital so you can get that antibiotic. And it's go time. Hey, everybody. It is 6:41 a.m. Whitney, the best girlfriend on the planet, just came to our house. Adam made eggs and... when Sabrina finally wakes up, thank God she didn't wake up, honey. She's going to take her to school today, which is so sweet. What do you have to say, Ads?
Driving to the hospital. I'm on a mission.
Yeah. All right. We'll check in later. I forgot how not fun contractions are. Forgot. And also how weird it is between contractions that you think that you can just be fine and then it, like, hits you again. So I'm going to turn this off before it hits me again. I don't want to scare any pregnant moms out there. Okay. Love you guys. I know you're with me. It's going to be good. So then we get to the hospital, and I have another contraction in the parking lot. And there was someone else, like, trying to park, and I was trying really hard to, like, cover up my misery. During that contraction, I think you held me. And I was like, this is really embarrassing. I'm having a contraction in a parking garage, and it looks like I'm dying.
I went, she's shot just to cover it, so she wasn't embarrassed.
So then we get upstairs, and it was so amazing because our doula, Carmen, was waiting at the check-in desk, which was so, incredible and made me feel so relieved and probably also, like, accelerated the birth because I was like, well, Carmen's here. Let's get the show on the road. We gave them my license. We get put in a triage room. I get out my eye mask to put on because I like to just sort of check out and not see all the medical equipment. My contractions started getting more intense. They were trying to have us fill out paperwork during my contractions. Again, I had my eye mask on, and I got frustrated with the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Should we say that?
Yeah.
I didn't tell anyone off in that room, did I?
No, I feel like you were just
I was still
understandably
human at
rude.
That point.
Does that make sense? Is
yeah,
that fair?
Okay. A little short, let's say.
Worse than short, but not abusive. How about that? Somewhere between short and abusive. Not abusive, but more than short.
Mind you.
I said understandably. put that ahead of it. You were having a baby.
I was feeling everything.
For sure.
And at that point.
Also, people just don't read the room. They like come in with a certain energy that's very much like, hey, just wanted to see if you could. And like, it's just not, you're like, word, this is.
Well, do not get that I have a weird eye mask on and I'm like sitting on a ball and I'm panting. Like, do not get this is like a different
this
type
is like
of
a
labor.
Diesel train that's moving real fast and it's not smooth, but you know, you'd never walk into that room and be like, oh man, this is real zen.
No.
Not in a bad way, just.
Right. Also, I should say, starting at this point, Adam started recording audio, which we had not discussed doing. So I had no idea. He started.
But you had been so concerned about being able to do a podcast. I was like, I'll just record this. You can just slap it out there.
Even
which it
Eliza,
turns out you can't do.
Even Eliza just groaned.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sort of become my big coping mechanism. Like if I can see my life experience as like a story to be told later, I'm able to get some distance from it and find the humor in it. And not completely lose my mind. So I think that's probably part of the podcast thing. Also, I was thinking about a lot of my listeners. Like, everyone had been so sweet on Instagram and so encouraging and excited about the birth of our baby. And it really felt like a lot of you guys were rooting for me. And, like, my mom group in that little triage room where I was just like, oh. And I was thinking, how have all these listeners had babies? This is so crazy.
Yeah.
And then I get to the point of, like, how have all humans had babies? Because this is insane. And not all humans have babies, but all humans are babies.
Right.
Whatever. We're sleep-deprived. Mm. You get it. Deep thoughts with Ellie Noss. At that point, Carmen checks. Our doula gets – they want to check how far along I am because we have no idea. And again, like Sabrina's birth, I didn't want to know how far along I was because I'm the person when you go work out in a class and they count down and you've got, like, 3 push-ups left – that's when I collapse on the floor, when there's 3 push-ups left. So I don't want to know that I'm almost there. I'd rather just be in the moment than be looking towards the finish line. So I had no idea. Adam knew. Mm-hmm. Everyone else knew but me. Again, because I had my silly eye mask on. All I knew is that the waves were excruciating, and we were trying to get me into a room, and I was a real room, and I was worried about not getting the group B strep antibiotic in my arm in time.
This is going to go very quickly, so I need you to stay really solid with me.
And then I remember they said that they had a room ready, and I said, why don't we just have the effing baby in right here?
Right, which we did not.
Which we did not. Instead, you went down the hall and you started the bath.
Right.
And then did you come back for me? Were
I
you
came
a part
back
of that hallway walk?
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't the nurse get hit in the face
by the
door?
That was on the way back. Forgot about that, but that.
Oh, that happened after the birth? Okay.
That was actually, I think, when we were headed to the. Yeah, that was after the birth.
Okay. So what I remember from going down this hallway was it was the last door on the right to the room. And again, my insecurity rears its ugly head because I was like, this is a hospital, like a laboring hospital. Like you. They said, you know, they've got.
There's a bar.
There's a bar along the wall in case you need to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And I could.
Specifically for, like, labor.
Yeah. But clearly I am, I don't know what's wrong with me that
right.
I'm such a wasp that I'm like, no, I will only labor in agony in my own room. I don't want to expose other people to this.
I know you were, it's a performance. Even when you were like, well, I got to have blow dry my hair. And I'm like, before.
Okay, I didn't want, there's 2 reasons to blow dry my hair
after
the shower.
I just didn't, it was.
One is, I don't want to be cold in the hospital with wet hair. And secondly, if I don't dry my hair, it doesn't look as blonde and won't look as good in pictures.
Of course, I get that question mark. Yeah.
So walking down that hall, it was like to get to that room.
Did not look blow dry by the end of this, by the way.
To get to, we'll get to that part. We get down, oh my God, we're going down that hallway and I can feel the wave coming and it's almost like someone who's going to piss their pants, except it's excruciating. It's more like someone who's been shot but trying to pretend like they haven't been. And I'm like staggering into that room because I don't want to have the contraction in the hallway in front of everyone, okay? I get a little shy, I guess.
Sure. It wasn't like I was like, no, have it in the hallway.
We get in the room and the doula didn't like how Adam prepared the bath.
It was too hot.
It was too hot.
I know my wife. She does not like everything's hot. Tepid. It's all got to be hot. I want a hot shower. I want a hot meal.
Yeah, I don't like everything's lukewarm. Gonna be hot. I'm not a lukewarm person. But the doula said, we don't want to do that to the baby. So then it felt like 30 minutes that you guys were trying to figure out how to cool the bath down.
I wasn't involved in that because I kept thinking, like, has no one ever here cooled a bath down? Like, this is something that should happen in 60 seconds at the most. And then it's like people are bringing ice buckets. It was like we were trying to cool a bath in the year 1800.
Bath is finally ready. We've got our little battery-operated candles. It's lovely. I get in the bathtub.
And you had labored most of the time with Sabrina in a bathtub.
Yeah. So yeah. It had worked in the first go-round.
So this was sort of the centerpiece of our birth plan, was the bathtub.
The main event. And it was really sweet because Carmen, our doula, again, I will always remember her saying between my contractions, you know, try to enjoy this moment because this is your last opportunity to be alone with this baby. Basically, when you go home, like, you're always going to have Sabrina around. Like, it's never going to just be this time with this one. And also, she said, and you don't know, you might never get pregnant again. And we made some joke about how I'm definitely not getting pregnant.
Yeah, we know.
We're definitely not getting pregnant again. But that was so sweet, too, because she was like, these are your final moments being pregnant, maybe ever. So appreciate that. And I was really appreciating it. And then I'd have a contraction and it'd be so painful. And then this is where my blow dried hair comes into play. Probably, I projectile vomited all over the bathtub that I was sitting in.
You were in for like 3 minutes.
It took 40 minutes to fill
the
tub.
Yeah, we filled it. We drained it. We filled it. We cooled it. We got it perfect. We got candles set up. And then Ellie sat in it. I took one photo and then she just projectile vomited everywhere. And not even like, it was like one of those ones like that's like a surprise to the person. Like you were like, and it like comes spilling out of you.
And then I didn't even know. Like when I had our first child, I did not know. Again, it was like pre-atomic moms. And I had only had a couple friends who had had children. I didn't know that puking was like a thing. I mean, we had gone into In-N-Out Burger.
I didn't know it was a thing until.
On the way to the hospital last time. So I didn't think I was going to be a puker. I throw up everywhere. I feel slight relief. And then I throw up again. Yeah. And Carmen was trying to get me out of the tub.
Very sweetly at first. The first time was like Ellie throws up in the tub. And I am like, oh, God. You know, on both just like on every level. This is gross. This is unsanitary. This is unhealthy. This is uncomfortable for Ellie. And Carmen was so chill about it. She's like, okay, sweetie, let's just, you know, it's all good. Let's just get out of the tub. And then Ellie like leans forward and just like, again, pukes everywhere, and then Carmen's like, okay, all right, good, it's all good, let's get out of the tub. And then Ellie pukes again, and then Carmen's like, you gotta get the F out of the tub. Like, just, you could tell she was just like, you can't sit in your own puke anymore.
But I couldn't move because I was so busy projectile vomiting.
Every time you tried to move, you threw up.
So then I get out of the tub, and they want to check me.
Meanwhile,
poor, like, Carmen's so sweet, and she's cleaning out the puke tub and, like, Purell's
it, getting it ready.
Get it ready for me to go back in because you don't know how long the labor will be. I get checked, and they say,
they're just like, she's going to have the baby.
They're like, you can't get back in the tub.
Yeah.
With Sabrina's birth, I had kept telling myself, this is only one day. This is only one day. This is only one day. And so I was trying to say that with this birth. And then I remember Carmen saying, I think in the triage room, like, this is only till lunch. And then it's, I think probably after that last check, she made some comment about, like, you're going to be holding this baby by, she said, brunch.
Yeah.
And that's when, I'm such a basic bee. I was like, I got this then. Like, if you're saying brunch,
right.
I'm excited.
Yeah. But this is like, you've only been at the hospital for 90 minutes at this point. And you've already like been in triage, puked in a bathtub 3 times, and are now, they're just like, well, she's going to have the baby.
And I had no idea what time it was again. So they check me, and then my OBGYN shows up, who's wonderful. And she had the best voice for labor. Like, she was such a sweet, happy, like, upbeat tone. And then she and my doula decided together that I should break my own water, which I'll get clarity on later why. I think it was something just sort of like, well, if there aren't going to be any sort of, what's the word, interventions, then.
Partially, she explained after the fact that said, like, because you, and I know it's a buzz, tricky term, but she said, if you want to have a quote unquote natural birth, then I'm going to make it. I know, but unmedicated doesn't fit this, because she said that I'm going to make sure it's like
She's not going to mess with
No, yeah, she's not going to mess with it. She's not going to intervene, yeah, right. and break the water.
So, everybody, I got on the bed and had my belly on the part where your back normally would be, like, mm-hmm. sitting up, and my head was kind of over the edge of the bed, and I was trying to press a water balloon out of me.
Right.
I'm sorry. I need the room quiet. I apologize. Okay? You've got this. Okay?
You got it.
That she said that if they pop it, you're, I mean,
something about the pain and accelerating.
Well, because I think the idea, and again, I'm not a doctor and this doesn't even make a whole lot of sense to me, but the idea is that if the water breaks ahead of its time, you're removing the cushion between the skull
and
your bone.
And then it's much more painful.
Yeah, it's much more painful.
So,
but that doesn't make total sense because your water broke with Sabrina like first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still a mystery to me.
Right.
Maybe we'll get clarity on it at some point. Point being, I broke my own water, and that was exhilarating.
Yeah.
It was four rounds. On the fourth time, it popped. I made a little like, scream. That was so intense.
Yeah.
That was the most like intense thing ever. And a cool thing that Carmen did was I would say to her, like, you got to get me out of my mind. And she would, like, put pressure on my forehead with her hand and, like, basically be my football coach through it, which was really, really helpful.
Yeah.
So then it's time to push.
They basically spray or, you know, douse your area in betadine. And I looked it up, and it's, like, a thing that a very small handful of people have. But, like, the smell of iodine, of betadine, I literally, like, instantly – my like buckets of sweat were pouring out of my body and I thought I was going to black out. Like I couldn't get my vision to like straighten out. And I'm standing there thinking like, I can't be the husband that's like, excuse me, I don't feel so well. So I literally was just like pouring sweat, like couldn't focus on anything. And I just kept thinking like, if I black out, they'll just drag me out of the room. It'll be fine. You know, but like I kept trying to make eye contact with someone just so someone would be like, are you okay? So I could like give them a signal like, and nobody would do it, obviously, because who gives a shit about me? Yeah, no one cares about what's happening to me. So I'm just like glancing around the room, being like, "Someone, please notice that."
Well, you had also lost all your allies because
I'm wobbling.
If we go back, maybe 30 minutes before that, there was more paperwork and more people asking me again about like my medical history.
Yeah.
They were asking about when I went into anaphylaxis. They were asking about the tumor, and I was like, "Yeah." What does this have to do with the baby? Like, I'm about to have another contraction. Like, get out.
And again, it's people doing their job, trying to do the cord. Donation, all that's like.
But I filled out all that paperwork.
Right. And they just, again, it's just like not, it's just not opportune. Maybe it's because people change their minds and so they just want to get all that stuff signed off. I don't know.
I think they're not used to people like being crazed animals while giving birth.
Sure.
Which I'm not saying anyone else who has had an unmedicated experience is, but I will say that that's sort of where I was.
You lean into it for sure.
I definitely leaned into it. Also because it felt like a great theater workshop. Because there was a lot of vocalizing, like,
Good. You're trying to bear down less when you lean forward like that. You're doing great. Really good. Come on.
I think, we may have already talked about this in the podcast, but I feel like part of you also was like, you know, you're like a really nice person in life and like a really like accommodating person and definitely like, you know, don't want to unnecessarily rock the boat. And I think with everybody, that's annoying. And like it's a little, you know, like you're repressing certain urges to just tell people to like F off sometimes. Yeah. And so this is the one moment in your life that you're like, I'm fully allowed to be that person. And I'm going to enjoy that moment for what it's worth.
So Adam almost passes out. There's antibacterial stuff everywhere. They're trying to make it a really sterile environment. I am pushing. It is, you know, I don't need to repeat myself. There was no relief in pushing, I'll say that. And then the nurse, who was so wonderful the whole time, and she was really fantastic afterwards.
This also goes back to, if you're the audience of your own show, this was hilarious when it happened. It was the funniest part of it.
The nurse sneezed all over me.
Twice. Yeah.
Like,
Ellie is like feet in the air, pushing a human out of her body, couldn't be in a more vulnerable physical position. And this nurse, and again, it wasn't like negligence. She was, I think, holding Ellie's leg so she didn't have a free hand. And I watched her like get the tickle in her nose and then like panic and then just not be able to do anything and just like blast a sneeze at 1,000 miles an hour right in Ellie's face. And then, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. That was so crazy. And then I see her like kind of make the face again, like, oh God, here comes another one. And then just like, and she'd also moved up Ellie's body at that point. So the first one was from like 3 feet away. And then the second one was like from 18 inches away, just like blasted a sneeze in Ellie's face. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I was in such shock. Like, that's the only thing ever that could like shake someone out of a contraction.
Sure. Oh yeah.
How did this just happen to me? That was an out-of-body experience. I was like, I'm officially Larry David giving birth right now.
Totally.
And then a couple moments later, somebody said to me, there's people coming in the room now. And I said, no. And then I whimpered no again. And then my doula is like, don't focus on that or something, which I'm having some frustrations about the fact that what happened next.
Now, I thought that was also hilarious. So this was the second hilarious thing. Ellie disagrees, not hilarious to her. This is the only part of the birth where we're on different islands. I'm a little bit like, get over it. Who cares? We have an amazing, healthy kid. But this is like at the final moments. It's like right before Eliza is going to be born. They're like, okay, you know, okay, sweetie, this is it. Like, you know, one more push and you're going to be a mom again. And then they're like, also, a few people are going to come in right now and just kind of watch. And literally like six.
And she, the doula didn't say that they were coming in.
No. A nurse or a doctor did. I don't know. But, and then like six or seven people.
Including some man who's now in my mind when I think about like, I'm about to be my baby and there's some weirdo at the back of the room. Like there's all these people I don't know. By the way, they
not the
like
back of the room. You make it something for right. They're like 6 feet
from my cavernous.
Yeah, just like staring down
lady
the
parts. Staring down the chute, and I was so aggravated about their placement in the room, and that they were there at all, and that I had whimpered no. But you know, I'll try to find the comedy in it eventually.
It was funny.
I'm not there yet.
It was funny.
And Adam
because
is like, "What do you want from?" I was like, "I feel like they were judging me," which I know they weren't. But again, I'm the person who like.
But you just said you know they weren't.
I just ran into the room because I was afraid of laboring in the hallway. Like, I don't want this to be a totally.
But they're all
despite
doctors.
Despite what it seems by doing a podcast about it, I don't want it to be a totally public experience.
Yeah, but they are. They're all doctors. They're all,
I know. And then you were like, what do you want them to do? Like, give you a thumbs up? And I was like, yeah, that would have been nice. Something where it didn't just feel like I was on display. Anyway, I get that people are learning and it was a cool birth and that maybe that's part of why they were watching.
Yeah.
I can spin it that way. But anyway, I pushed and pushed and pushed.
I don't even think they worked in the hospital.
This came out. This little baby came out of me.
Not little.
8 pounds, 8 ounces came out of me. In, by the way, holding her by 10:06.
Yeah.
So it was, we were at the hospital for less than 4 hours before I gave birth. I was really starting to get the control. Like, my doula says it was a 4-hour act of labor.
She reached out for you. You reached out. Together, we got the kid.
She's so baby. Oh my God, she's so beautiful.
Thank you for coming. You are so cute. Did you see her reach up for it? Oh, she's so cute. Beautiful baby. She's super cute.
Oh,
she's not little.
No.
She's a solid little.
Aww.
You guys have
both. Yeah, I guess I was like dead. I don't remember.
Hi.
Your mommy. Thank you guys for going on this journey with us. Until next week. Trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on, Atomic Mom. Yeah, Liza, let's get out of here.